Well, today I wanted to talk about discipleship, the Jesus way, and especially embodied discipleship, and what this really looks like. And we'll be looking at Ephesians 4. I think I'm going to start there by reading Ephesians 4, 21 to 32 in the Passion Translation. If you have already experienced the Anointed One and heard this truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within you as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness and now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts. What a great phrase that is. Let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity and insults. Now there's a test right there. Let me read that again. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity and insults. But instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. So today, I just want to start with something really simple. What actually is a disciple? We use the word all the time, but it's easy to forget what it really means. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, learns from him, not just by listening to his teaching as we read the word, but by shaping their whole life around his life. Jesus is the center of it all. And Jesus says in John 13:35 that people will recognize his true followers by the way they live, not just but what they know or what they say. And as I've said many, many times, the world is watching. The world is watching to see how we respond to certain situations. Situations in our own lives, but also situations in other people's lives. Or what's going on in the world. Well, that's the heart of this whole message about being a disciple. It isn't about collecting information about Jesus. It's about embodying the lifestyle of Jesus. He's not an optional extra we add on to our lives. He's meant to be right at the centre of everything. Paul describes his transformation as moving from the old self-life into a new life. That old self is full of bitterness, anger, dishonesty and a whole host of ugly stuff. And all the way we try to protect ourselves. But the new life is marked by truth and kindness, our beautiful words, radical forgiveness. And Paul says something huge. The life that we're called to live is embodied in Jesus. He's the center of it all. Jesus didn't just teach a new way of how to be a human being. He lived it perfectly. He He showed us what humanity looks like when it's fully alive, fully surrendered, fully filled with God, and fully following the Holy Spirit. Years ago, well, this reminds me of a story. Years ago, I tried, and I did, learn to windsurf. I bought a book about it. I watched, and I convinced myself that I could do this. I'm quite a fit young man. I'll be easily able to pick this up. It looks really straightforward enough. But once I got onto the water with a windsurf, I realised really quickly that the things I'd read, the things I watched, weren't really helpful. I struggled a lot. And it taught me something about actually watching somebody or someone speaking to you in front of you was way more powerful. So the manual could teach me how to balance. It could teach me how to respond to the various wind directions. It could teach me how to adjust when things change. But what I really needed was somebody, a person there, who, if you like, embodied the whole art and skill of windsurfing to show me and tell me what to do. And I think in some ways, sometimes we can treat Christianity in that way. We can read things, we can get information, and we can listen to sermons, we can read enough books. We think we'll be automatically transformed. But Paul actually says in that scripture that I read out earlier, in Ephesians 4:21, that if we really experience Jesus, it will be seen in our lives. Not just believed, not just understood, seen. Discipleship is meant to be visible. It's meant to be lived out. It's meant to be embodied. And Paul uses a great metaphor of a wardrobe picture to explain this. He says, you know, to take off the old self and put on the new life that comes from Christ. The old self is our default setting, the part of us that reacts when with bitterness or when we're hurt, throws temper tantrums and when things don't go our own way, demands revenge when things go against us, or hides perhaps behind dishonesty when we're afraid. We often use excuses, I find, or I think I have done in the past, and maybe I still do now. That's just who I am. We treat our brokenness, maybe our dysfunctions, that's part of our personality. But Paul is really clear. He says the old stuff is actually corrupted and built on delusions. It's not the real you. It's a distorted version of you, a version shaped by the world, by fear, by insecurity, by self-protection, by many, many other things. The new life, on the other hand, is about becoming transformed, completely transformed. It's not about becoming improved. We're not on an improvement program or to have an improved version of ourselves. It's not a self-help program. It's not trying harder to be nicer. It is an exchange, a divine exchange. Letting go of the toxic stuff and weight that holds us back of the old self, but stepping into a recreated identity. That recreated identity is shaped by the truth of kindness, forgiveness, words that become beautiful gifts to others. That's what it really looks like when Christ lives within us and begins to show through. The world is watching. It's not about polishing our old self, but living from your new self, your new recreated self in Christ Jesus. And this is where it becomes really practical. Discipleship isn't mostly about big, dramatic decisions. It can be about the smallest micro moments of our lives, tiny interactions that reveal what is really going on inside us. It's about what comes out of your mouth when someone cuts you off in traffic. Who's had that before? Many times. It's about how you react when you feel unseen, unappreciated, dishonoured. You fill in the blanks. It's about what rises up in us when someone speaks badly or as I say, dishonours you. These moments show whether we're living from the old self or from the new self, from the Christ within. Jesus didn't just teach the kingdom. He lived it at every moment of the day. He embodied patience, kindness, truthfulness, forgiveness, not just in public, but in private, in his unseen moments, as he taught his disciples, as he instructed them in the way they followed him, in the way they could see what he did, what he said. He responded to many things with grace. He treated people with dignity, even when they didn't deserve it. He spoke incredible truth in such an amazing way, not in a cruel, harmful way. And he forgave quickly. He invites us to do the same, not to try harder, but to live from the Christ within. So here's a reality check. If we are trying to live this new life in our own strength, we'll fail. We'll burn out. We'll get exhausted. The old self can be very strong and familiar, can be comfortable. But Paul gives us the antidote right at the end of this passage with a simple question and a powerful comment. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. That is the key. We can't live this horizontal life on this planet. Yeah, with kindness, affection, truthfulness, forgiveness, unless we are constantly receiving the vertical flow of Jesus' love and forgiveness. Everything we give out must come from what we've received. And as we've said many, many times, in messages shared, it's just living conscious of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us to guide us into all truth. Everything flows from Christ's love. So in a moment, we're going to be sharing communion together. And I just want to I really hope that you can see communion from a different perspective today. It's not just a ritual. It's a declaration of identity. When we take the bread and the cup, we're declaring that the old man is dead, the new man lives, and Christ is embodied in us. We're reminding ourselves that we live in union with him and draw our strength from his love. Communion always points us back to the cross, where the old self was defeated, and to the resurrection life that now lives within us. It's a moment for us to pause. This is who I am now. I belong to him. I live from him. So, before we take communion, let me just throw out a simple challenge this week. Choose maybe a small moment, a micro moment to embody Jesus, just one. When you hurt, speak a beautiful gift instead of a sharp word. When you're frustrated, choose patience instead of throwing your toys out the pram. When you're dishonored, say, respond with grace instead of revenge. When you're tempted to lie, speak truth, but speak it gently. And when perhaps you feel bitterness rising up inside, choose kindness. Forgive quickly. This is discipleship, the Jesus way. Not information, not theory, but embodiment. Jesus is the center of it all. He is the blueprint of our new life, our new self. He lives in you, he lives in me. Amen.